Hello and welcome to Broad Little Lies with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome everybody to the show. This is our first episode of this podcast. Not our first episode to podcasting, but we have one of the stars of the show.
Making a later season appearance.
Yes. In fact, Tasia's taking bets on which episode I'll show up on.
Interesting.
Oh, so you don't know?
I do not. I straight up do not.
I wasn't sure if it was like you knew and you couldn't tell.
No. Like I really don't know. But I was guessing, given what I do know about the scene, I was guessing that we wouldn't get there in this first episode.
Right. Yeah. So for anybody just joining us, Amanda and Shandy and I do another podcast called The Broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. And we're three seasons into that. And Shandy was actually an extra on this season of Big Little Lies because she lives in Monterey. And I don't know. We decided we want to have that inside baseball knowledge for that one episode that she's on. Plus,
just
we love
general Monterey knowledge.
Yeah. We thought we had something to offer. Plus, we love talking to each other so much we thought that this would be a great show to add to our repertoire. Plus, it's a lot better than Handmaid's Tale, which I just can't talk about in depth. So,
oh my God,
that's
maybe for tomorrow.
Yeah, if you want to hear that, we'll listen to the broadcast.
Pin in that sadness, just you know.
I can't
hold
yet.
That sob inside.
Yes.
In your heart sob, and we'll get to it tomorrow.
Nope. I won't. I can't watch it yet. You guys, I got really depressed, remember? Like, I was like laying on the floor crying after season two.
That's depressing.
Like, I couldn't deal with it. So, anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Big Little Lies. So, welcome.
So much lighter.
So much lighter.
So far.
All these women still have their autonomy, so I guess it is still lighter in a way.
True.
Very true.
Yeah. There's only been, you know, like light domestic abuse,
light rape, you know.
Yeah.
Little normal
stuff.
Normal little combo.
Yeah. Normal. Normal sad stuff.
Normal sad stuff. You know.
Not dystopian.
HBO, high quality drama, sad stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. So here we are. I have to say I'm a little bit nervous. We've got the formula for the other show down pat that I was like, how am I going to do something new? But
yeah. So I guess those of you listening for the first time, thank you for your patience.
Yeah.
And we have nowhere to go but up. So stick around. It's just going to get better. I promise.
Exactly. So here we are. Big Little Lies, season two. The show, I hadn't realized that it's been over 2 years since the show last aired. Season one aired February 17th, 2017 to April 2nd, 2017, which was, I know, I thought it was like a year ago. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, I am. Because I went to that casting call a year ago.
That's right.
Slash filmed a year ago.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Wow, and that was a year ago.
Yeah.
Time is moving at an alarming rate, ladies.
It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I know. And so I was doing the casting thing a year ago, and we actually ended up watching the episode with another friend who, unbeknownst to me, had also done the open casting call and also is an extra. And so it was just really fun to watch it together because we were like all eyes on the screen, but like on the back of the screen to see if it was in the background.
Right. Well, that's interesting awesome. When you like you were extras in different scenes. So
totally different scenes.
You can like swap background info. You can like piece together.
Exactly. Well, he was, we didn't see him, but he would have been, and maybe this will come up later, but he would have been in that scene with the Blissful Drip Cafe. So he was close to Meryl Streep.
Like who,
in proximity.
Oh my.
Not to get too in depth right now, but she came out swinging for that Emmy, right?
Yeah.
She was like, right there, guys, right there.
I don't think Meryl does anything half-assed, though, to be honest.
She does not.
You invite Meryl to be in something, she's going to bring
She's going to bring it.
+++ exclamation point game.
And she did, because she was fabulous. But Yeah, what initial reactions? And then we can get into some more in-depth discussion. What did you guys think, like, off the bat? Like, a good start to the season? I liked it. I liked the setup of where they're going. I like that it kind of jumped right into... I mean, Celeste kind of had the reaction I thought she would have. Everybody kind of had the reaction that I thought that they would have, right down to, like, Bonnie being so freaked out and Madeline just being like... All right, next.
P.S. I don't like homeless people. No.
She doesn't care about homeless people. Yeah, I kind of felt like this episode was a little bit of treading water. And maybe now that, like, Colleen, how you had said that it had been almost 2 years since, you know, we've seen all these characters, that maybe they felt like they really needed to, like, ease you back mm-hmm. into the world mm-hmm. with this first episode. But I really felt like nothing happened other than, like, reminding you who these characters are, where they were the last time we saw them, and sort of a little starting to plant the seeds of, like, the aftermath and, like, where they're at now.
Yeah, definitely.
And one of the people that I was watching with kind of had the reaction of, like, well, there's no plot in season two, apparently. And I was like, you know, I mean, well, I get that they're true. Sort they're very much, yeah, they're very much like setting things up. And I loved season one and I love all of the characters. So I'm like thoroughly invested to see what the fallout is and how they're going to deal. And I think, just like you said, Amanda, we have all of the seeds are planted about the, we know a little bit of what's going on with the detective stuff. We know that Meryl Streep is going to be an issue. So I think that we can't really judge it yet until next episode.
I will say I watched it twice and I picked up on a little bit more the second time. And I didn't read any reviews or anything it until after I watched it the second time. And even then, I only really had time to read kind of one little review on it. So I'm pretty fresh. That's what she said. But we're still doing those on this show, by the way. But I did pick up a lot more, and I have more theories about where the show could be headed after a second viewing versus like my first one. So, but we can talk more about that later. Before we get into our bigger discussion of the show, let me take a minute and thank the patrons. We have Patreon, and we're part of the Jane Jack Network, anybody just joining us. And if you would love to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JaneJack. There's different levels that you can be a patron at. You know, go there, check that out. That'd be great. We would really appreciate it. But we do have bonus content each month for the different levels. And, you know, we would really appreciate it if you would consider doing that. So you can see on patreon.com/JaneJack. All right. Without further ado, let's just get into discussing the episode. So season two, episode one, it was called What Have They Done? To give a brief synopsis, Amanda.
Okay. The episode summary from HBO goes as follows. Following first day of school events, Madeline is worried by Bonnie's behavior and later is shocked when Abigail says she doesn't want to go to college. Mary Louise, Celeste's mother-in-law, offers her an unvarnished assessment of Madeline's character, and Jane learns from her new coworker, Corey, that she's known in town as one of the Monterey Five.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. That's a pretty fair episode description.
I agree. Okay, so how do we want to do this? Do you want to go by character, by storyline, or just by whatever floats our boat, as we do on the broadcast? I guess I should plug this now, or I should have plugged it like 10 minutes ago. But on our other podcast, The Broadcast, we actually have an entire episode dedicated to season one of Big Little Lies. It's called All the Big Little Lies Feedback. It's probably on our feed, but if you'd like to listen to it, send us an email at thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, and we can totally, you know, hook you up with a link. Or you could probably just Google it. It's called All the Big Little Lies Feedback. It's there you go. If you want to hear what we thought about season one. Okay, sorry. Okay. Moving on. So, okay, do we want to talk about Madeline? Do we want to talk about Bonnie? Or do we want to talk about Mary Louise or Celeste? Ooh. There's so much. I mean, I want to talk about Mary Louise real bad, but I don't want to cut anybody else off.
Well, let's start with that.
I think that's a good place to start because I think that seemed to really be the like predominant storyline.
Mary Louise or Bonnie?
Mary Louise. No, I would say Mary Louise and Celeste's storyline, I think, took up more screen time than Bonnie's did.
And we actually had an email about that.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, then, let's talk about Mary Louise and how she came to town with her, like, you know, speak softly but carry a big swinging dick around because that lady was...
A psychopath?
I mean, the first time I watched it, I was like, is this subtle, like, that's how Perry got to be, like, kind of how Perry was? Because, you know, you generally hear that people who are abusers were abused in childhood. So I was like, did he get it from her? Oh, no, she's so sweet. Oh, she's kind of passive aggressive. And then by the end, when she's screaming at the dinner table, I was like, nope. Definitely got a childhood trauma from her.
Well, very much like putting your child on the pedestal. And it's very clear that I think we can safely assume that Perry was an only child.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I think like that was laid out pretty well.
Yeah. And if he does have a younger sibling, they're going to show up in season 3 and be more fucked up because
they were forgotten about.
They were totally forgotten about the first the child two seasons under the of the stairs. Show. Yeah. But okay, yeah, Mary Louise, like I already said, she's obviously swinging for that Emmy, but like even beyond that, I mean, just she like ooze that like victimhood, but like lash out victimhood kind of manipulative. Also, I really want to see all the scenes with her and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Backhanded compliments were very, very real.
Yeah.
The unapologetic apologies.
Yeah, she's like
the non-apologies.
Like
the non-apologies.
Yeah, the non-apologies. Short people are creepy. I don't mean that. Maybe I do. Or whatever she said.
I'm sorry, that was rude. I just had one bad experience. And you remind me 100% of her.
She kind of reminded me of a sober Lucille Bluth.
Ooh. Oh,
I was literally going to say, I wonder what her character development was. Like, what did she base this character around? And like, what were her influences? And I feel like you nailed it. Yeah. I feel like that is clearly what it is.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Although the glasses are something else.
The glasses are.
And the really terrible mom hair. Really terrible mom hair.
I don't know. That just ties into my theory that Perry had a sibling, and in season like 3, we're going to hear her be like, I never cared much for Job.
Come to find out, Perry like pushed the sibling out of a tree house when they were kids.
It was his twin brother.
It was his twin brother.
And he was the Max and his twin was the Josh. Okay, this is all terrible. Getting back to it. We definitely all, I think we're all kind of in agreement right now that Mary Louise is clearly going to be the massive catalyst of the second season, right?
She's going to be a giant thorn in their foot.
So what do we think will happen? Do we think that she'll come across Bonnie and trigger Bonnie to, like, I don't know, go to the police or say something?
Well, I mean, already we have on the next time on, we have that scene where she's confronting Nicole Kidman's character.
Oh, I didn't see that.
She somehow finds out that Nicole Kidman's character was going to leave Perry.
Yeah.
Well, people talk.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched it twice and I never watched the next week on either time. I should.
I think, to be fair, that was also in the pre-season previews.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Well, and I always like to watch through the end of the episode just in case they do those really wonderful, like, behind the episode featurettes, which they didn't do, which I guess they mean they weren't going to do this season. And that's kind of a bummer. But I also feel like if you have that much talent and they're also producing the show, they're like, HBO, we don't have time for this.
Yeah. Right. You can convince the cast of Game of Thrones.
We do not have time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're not filming in the middle of nowhere to be able to come in and do your, you know, talking heads.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, okay. Anybody else have anything right now about... I thought it was kind of weird, but also probably goes to... What do you guys think that why she's so interested in her dreams? Do you think that she just is really suspicious that she had something to do with it and just is... Or is she just like a psychopath?
No, I think that's exactly it. I think it's very clear that Mary Louise knows that something is up and that she's not... That Celeste isn't being 100% truthful, but at this point... She doesn't know what she doesn't know.
Yeah.
But she knows there is something. And I think
that she doesn't
she
know.
Thinks she's really just trying to grasp at whatever straws or whatever thread she can pull on, yeah. I think, right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So, but before we move on, because I really want to talk about Madeline next, but before we do, I think we have some feedback about Meryl Streep / Mary Louise.
Indeed, we do. Jacob, who did our wonderful. Freaking awesome artwork.
Which yes. We love our artwork and we love Jacob.
We love Jacob and our artwork. Yay!
So much. Jacob wrote in some feedback about Marilyn just doing her. And Jacob says, broads, I don't know if this is the case for everyone, but I'm consistently exhausted by Meryl Streep's prowess as an actor.
Yes.
We are all painfully aware of how good she is, and I'm always tired of hearing about it. That is, until I see her perform again and I'm reminded that all the buzz is not for nothing. Let's talk about how truly amazing she is. Again and again and forever.
So, speaking of prowess, fun fact about Meryl Streep that was going around the internet tonight. She and Elizabeth Warren have the exact same birthday right down to the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just a bit of trivia for anybody that's still playing HQ. That might be a question someday.
Very different paths.
Very different paths. Both unstoppable and persistent. In
true.
Yeah, I imagine the paths aren't as different as we think upon further reflection.
True.
Yeah, there's just persistent. Yeah, there's something about June 22nd. So just saying.
Big things. But yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like. It's like, oh, Meryl. But I think you look at the cast already and it's just like these badass, incredible female actors. Yep. And then it's like you add one more. And I think – and I know I said earlier how the episode didn't really do or go anywhere for me. But I think that was also kind of nice because I found there was a lot of moments that I could just sit there and enjoy the acting that was happening.
You mean marinate in it?
Yeah, exactly. You could just like marinate in the fact that like these ladies are just at the top of their game and they're all so good. And to be just given like you could just give them the phone book and let them just like go at it. And it would probably be really entertaining. So I think it's that part is going to be so exciting this season. I think adding one more really talented actress and just the most talented the Meryl Streep, I think, is just going to be so enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I would watch Meryl Streep read the phone book.
Yeah.
In any language.
I think in multiple languages would actually probably be more entertaining.
Seriously. All right, well, thank you so much, Jacob, for that email. All right, let's talk about Madeline. Because, oh my God, she had like, I don't know. She had everything, like, from just how she has this amazing ability to compartmentalize everything, yet also simultaneously let it take over her life. I guess what I'm saying is I identify with somebody with a type A personality. I don't know, guys. I'm just saying. You know, I loved in the car where she was talking about the double standards for parents with like drop-offs, like how, you know, the moms are there and they're like, she gained weight, she did this, she did that over the summer, and like the dads are there and they're like, oh, look at that, he's involved. So I thought that was really funny. I did write down one quote when she was honking the horn and like yelling at that person. She goes, "Once I lean in, you know how I am." And I'm like, "Yes, I do know how that goes."
Yeah, she was great.
She was. And then the whole I had forgotten until I saw it again that Abigail, her daughter, is the chick from Blockers,
yep,
a broadcast favorite movie.
Yep. Oh.
Blockers. She was in the PBS update of Little Women.
She was? Was she Beth? Yep. She looks like she was Beth. Was she Amy?
No, she was Amy.
Okay. Yeah, she does look like an Amy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grown up Amy or young Amy?
They have the same Amy the whole series.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is not your 90s. It was not your 90s Little Women.
Interesting.
Freaking classic, by the way.
I know. Yeah. The 90s version?
I love it. That was not a backhanded anything.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I still cry when Beth dies in the 90s version, even as a grown up. I know, right? It's so sad.
I mean, I kind of cried from like the beginning credits to the end.
Fair enough.
Let's be real.
I do love that movie. Yeah.
Claire Danes, man.
I know.
The height of her Claire Danes. She was coming out with like My So-Called Life.
Yes.
I think this was this before or after Romeo and Juliet? Was it before? I think it was before.
Before. It's got, I'm guessing. I don't know. I say that like I know. I think it was like 1994, and I want to say that Romeo and Juliet was like 96.
I don't know. She was just the,
I think it was 96.
The coolest teenager like I could have thought of at that
age. I know. And then she grew up and was really awesome in Homeland, and the first season was awesome of Homeland.
Yeah, I never watched that.
Yeah.
Season one of Homeland kind of is awesome.
But I never ended up watching it.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
Abigail.
So I didn't realize that. And I didn't realize that Ziggy is young Sheldon. And
whoa.
He is young Sheldon. I looked it up and confirmed him. And
definitely didn't watch that. Sorry.
The therapist is Calamity Jane from Deadwood.
Oh, my God.
I hadn't seen Deadwood until this year, so I didn't know at the time they were the same actress. But while we were watching today, I was like, why does she look so familiar? And then I was like, oh, she's Calamity Jane. She's just taking a shower.
Also, just like a side note on the therapist, because we don't need to stay on that very long. But are her methods, like, is she a good therapist? Are her methods, like, okay? Her lines of questioning sometimes?
I think she's a questionable therapist.
Okay, thank you. It's not just me.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not as good as the therapist in Lucifer, but whatever. Just kidding. Wasn't she supposed to be their couples therapist originally?
She was,
and he just kind of blew them off?
I believe is also like therapists that do couples therapy, I think don't then also do like individual sessions that like,
they don't.
You have a therapist for that because it becomes like.
No, they don't, because there's a conflict of interest. Like,
right.
No, but
it depends on the therapist, because Esther Perel, in her books, has said that she felt wasn't sure about that, but she has done that on occasion.
Okay.
Interesting.
On occasion, I suppose.
Okay, well, cases. And I was going to ask if, like, maybe Nicole Kidman, maybe Celeste was like, just bill this as couples therapy, even though he's dead, like.
Or bill it to his estate. I'm actively grieving. I can't go find a new therapist, too.
Right.
Can't you just do it?
Right. And because she's a rich white lady, her insurance company was like, sure, anything you want.
Whatever you need.
We are here for you.
I mean, have you seen where she lives? Like, she doesn't even really need insurance. Like, she can just pay all of that out of pocket.
That's very true.
For sure.
But I'm guessing that this isn't like $100 out of pocket kind of therapist.
Well, still.
Yeah.
She's doing okay.
Yeah, everyone's doing fine there. Everyone's doing fine.
Exactly. Okay.
Turns
anyway.
Out Monterey, it is a very expensive place to live.
It is.
But like none of them they live in like Big Sur and Malibu. So.
All right. Well, still fair. Okay. Yes. Madeline, let's get back to this. So the Abigail storyline, how did we feel about this? Did anybody else laugh out loud like I did twice when she was like, I want to do a for-profit homeless, like building homes for homeless? And
I was like, a for-profit? Did you mean non-profit? Did you,
she did not. Because then she
really, I mean, I guess it's a startup. So, but I loved when she was like, and I mean, so many people have said this. There are strikes going on because of it. When she was like, the world is like going to end.
Yeah.
What does it matter if I go to college?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the world is not, catastrophic stuff isn't going to happen for 10 years, Abigail. That is 10 years of your life that you could be doing something.
Yep. You can go to college, have a career, and still be burnt out and bored of that career before the world ends.
Exactly. And if you have to take student loans, but you won't have to. But if you did, you would not even have to worry about paying those back. Because
it's like the best loan forgiveness.
Exactly.
Yeah, best worst loan forgiveness program ever.
Oh my God. I will say, okay, two things about that. Thing one, it shouldn't have like blindsided Reese Witherspoon's character,
Madeline.
It shouldn't have blindsided Madeline so much because Abigail literally said that last season, like multiple times, that she's not going to college. Yeah. She doesn't want to go to college. Thing two is I am very much a championer of higher education, but also like it shouldn't be such a big deal. Like she could, okay, assuming that the world doesn't end in 2030 or even 2050, she could always go to college later. Like sure. They're doing fine. She's going to inherit so much money when her parents die. She doesn't even have to worry about that kind of stuff. But there are different things, like you can take a different path.
Right. Like, and she can even.
There's nothing to be said about the gap year.
Gap year. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. She should take a gap year.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Doing non-profit work for the home, or for-profit work for the home.
I know. No, she definitely meant for profit, though, because her when she was explaining it, she was like, and unlike blah, blah, blah. And Jay, my husband, was watching it with me the second time I watched it, and he just started laughing. He was like, good luck with that one.
It does feel like something that would only come out of an affluent, very white community.
18-year-old girl, yeah.
Like, have the balls to think that, like, this is going to work and we're going to change the world.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And I think that shows us, too, that, like, she, even though, like, Madeline isn't necessarily, like, showing good parenting skills in the way that she deals with this. And again, like, you can have a different path. At the same time, Abigail isn't quite so, like, I mean, she's, you know, she's still like a, she's still a teenager. She still has a lot to learn about the world.
Right. And although I think her mom kind of had a point where she was like, just make a donation and go to college. And then, I don't know.
Or volunteer on your summers off.
Like, we're rich. No. Yeah. Anyway, okay, yeah, so I thought that this was interesting because I think the Madeline thing kind of ties then into a little bit of the Bonnie thing. So we see that Bonnie is, you know, incredibly, incredibly affected by pushing Perry down the stairs. And, you know, she's a pretty much as, I believe, what's the husband's name? He says, you know, she's gone, you know, like mental MIA, like, you know, she's just not there anymore. And, you know, I think that that's probably how most people would be. But it's just interesting that Madeline is right back to like, okay, I'm going to go sell houses now and worry about, you know, the first day of school drop off. And Bonnie is like traumatically affected by this, which, you know, I obviously can't blame her. And so what do you guys think about Bonnie? I think it was very realistic. I think it was interesting that Madeline is the way, I'm sorry if I've been saying it wrong this whole time. Madeline is the one who came up with the lie first that he just fell backwards down the stairs and Bonnie wanted to, you know, wanted to come clean, which is actually kind of also interesting. That Madeline, more her initial instinct was to lie about it when she really didn't have to because she wasn't really that, she didn't do the pushing. So I thought that was kind of interesting that her, you know, first reaction was to try to cover it up. But I guess maybe that's not that interesting at all.
Well, I think there's something, like, I think her character
is a fixer,
has a big, like, control. The control seems to be a very important part of what makes that character tick and what makes that character feel
good point
in control. Like, well, obviously, okay, let me phrase that better. Like, I think control is how that character feels comfortable.
Okay.
That if she can control the situation, everything is going to be fine.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. The lie, I think that's where the lie came from.
But that, you know, has, as we've seen, is kind of ruining Bonnie's life and her marriage and her mothering. And
well, and I'm sure she didn't, she didn't think about it like that. I mean, I think for one thing, they didn't have a lot of time to, like, I don't know, debrief and, like, get their story straight probably. And sort of like once they were going down that path, they were going down that path.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Madeline was like necessarily trying to do Bonnie dirty. On the contrary, I do agree that she was doing it to protect her, but it's like, yeah, why is she the one making the decision necessarily?
Right. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Like, you would think even Celeste would have more of a say in that decision, you know, being the wife who was getting the shit kicked out of her as this was all going down.
I think that's also part of Celeste's character, to kind of hang back and let other people dictate the play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no, I think she's a smart woman, but she's not a terribly confident woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think she feels she would much rather hang back and just let Madeline or someone like that sort of take the reins. And I think that's why, that's probably why they're such good friends to begin with.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so Madeline makes the decision that, you know, out of like, you know, goodwill, like she's making the decision that she thinks is best in the situation, and then just like sort of snowballs everyone else with it, just kind of in the same way that she is making the decision that Abigail is going to college because she said so, whether or not that's actually the right move for Abigail right now.
Yeah.
Right. But I think, Shanda, I think you bring up a good point that all that stuff is motivated out of love. Like, it's not because she just wants to be in control of the situation to be in control. I think those motivations are all to protect, to protect her family, to protect the people that she loves, you know, Bonnie and Celeste, and like to keep everyone safe. That if she can control the situation, everyone she loves is safe.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. So let's talk a little bit then about Celeste. Do we think that she's going to snap towards the end of the season? Do we think that it's going to be a result of Mary Louise being there? Or I have a theory that the conversation that she had with Jane, when Jane, you know, said, "Do you hate me?" And then went like on to push the subject, like, "No, I didn't just, you know, have, you know, sleep with your husband, even though he raped me. Like, I was complicit in it."
Shut up.
I know. And I was like, ooh, I think Jane has a lot more, and I think has a lot more guilt than she's letting on too about this whole thing. Just, which again, Jane doesn't, is like probably Jane and Renata probably have the least amount, right, of guilt.
Yeah.
In this situation. I mean,
I think,
I mean, and I know that's, you know, because this, they were there and they're a part of it, but like, Jane has this whole other thing going on that, like, she figured out who her rapist was, and then he died like a second later in front of her. But I have a theory that that conversation is going to be what sets Celeste down a darker path, and eventually leads to her like slipping up or confessing by the season finale. Thoughts?
I mean, I kind of hope you're right. I feel like I would love to see Celeste have like some sort of big moment of some kind. Like, I think that would be very interesting.
Yeah. And I think we're building up to that, just because we saw so much of, we had so many reminders of passive Celeste this episode, even with her mother-in-law there. Like, where it's manifesting in her dreams, or she's dreaming that she's a monster and she's, you know, waking up going, "I'm going to fucking kill you." Like, clearly, you know, there's something is going to give. We had that whole scene with the screaming where it's clear that Mary Louise is like gonna like knife you in the front. like you know,
do you the respect of
right, like she's gonna talk to you, and she's gonna smile and say terrible things while she's smiling at you, and you might not see her coming, you might turn around after you're doing the dishes, but she's still gonna do it in the front. Whereas I think Celeste right now is, Celeste right now is in this space where she's repressing everything, that it's just not gonna end well.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you're right. I think that'll be great.
Yeah.
And also, like, how much longer can she possibly live with Mary Louise? How suffocating would that be?
I know. Well, thankfully, Mary Louise is finding her own place to rent.
Right, but she's not leaving Monterey.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Which would probably be best case scenario. Go home.
Go home.
Don't bring your home closer. Just go home.
Yeah. I have to say, I did feel really bad for Celeste this episode because it has to be difficult to have all these great memories and then all these horrible memories at once. Yeah. I mean, the psychology of an abuse victim doesn't just stop when the abuser is dead.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, and I think that's always been what the show has done so well, is to really show domestic abuse in a more nuanced and 360 view than we usually see on television.
And I think that's why it resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is that definitely, because even with the Perry reveal in season one, like, you know, in the beginning it was very loving and then the aggression was very subtle and then, you know, it was there and you were like, oh, is this just rough sex or, you know, like, is this just how they like it? And then you're like, oh, no. This is like, this is definitely not. And then, you know, full on like abuse. So I don't know. It's just, you're right. It's interesting the way that it's the show has presented such a delicate, you know, whatever. All right. do we want to talk about Renata at all? I have to say that she looked freaking fierce in her photo shoot.
Yep. I love me some Laura Dern. Love her, love her, love her. And I hope she gets to do more this season, because I feel like out of all of our amazing cast of women, Laura Dern does not get as much to do. And she is just as good and just as talented as the other ladies. So I hope she has something – like something really big and fun to do.
Me too.
Totally.
And I think she will.
What's up with her husband though?
Yes. Okay. First of all, I love and / laughed at the fact that he was drinking like bourbon in his man cave with his fucking
toy trains.
You know, what's it called? Like the trains going around. They have a name, which I said before when I was making fun of Matt Loud. But yeah, with the model trains, like, just going around. That was so ridiculous. And, I mean, I guess you do you, bro. But it was funny because my husband was like, oh, you know, this is definitely fragile male ego, like, on the screen right now.
Totally. Do you think that he didn't like that she was being photographed by other people?
Yeah, I think he was totally jealous. Didn't they have like this kind of weird thing in the first season too, with the fact that she was very successful?
Well, that's the thing. And I was trying to remember, because it's like they said it, like that scene is so very clear and pointed, but I couldn't remember.
I remember them having sex in the first season. Yeah.
I couldn't remember how we got there. So sort of like, well, is that going to set up? Are we going to find out more about like why that bothered him so much later?
Right. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah.
No, because I thought I might be misremembering, but in the first season, I thought that he liked that about her. And he even,
I thought
like,
so
talked
too.
Her up being like, you kick ass and like these other women don't let them make you feel bad because like you do all these things and you're on these boards and you're awesome.
Yeah, I thought so too, but too,
now that you say it.
Something
I will
is definitely
say there
around.
Is a possible spoiler from the book that I still haven't read, but Tasia, who's read the book, mentioned something to me. I will not mention it on the podcast in case people haven't read the book. But I don't know if it's something they're going to use in the show or not, but it could explain a little bit of what's going on.
Well, I don't know if this was something from our feedback or not, that somebody, or if I read it in the only thing that I read about it today, somebody said that one of the plot lines for this season, or maybe the plot line, is something that was rejected as a book plot line.
Oh,
interesting.
That is cool.
I could be 100,000.
Rejected in the writing of the book or in the book and rejected from the show?
I feel like it was a left, because Leanne Moriarty was the responsible. She co-did the, with David E. Kelly, they co-came up with the season, the story for this season. And I feel like it was a dropped plot point from the book.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you've read the book, you'll know what we're talking about and alluding to. And maybe I should read the book now because I never, I never did, but
I haven't either. I'd like to.
Actually, you know what? This is from Matt, one of our listeners and friends. He said, interesting to see how they, wait, no, it's not. Maybe it's not. Okay.
I could have sworn there was.
Okay, yeah. It's not then. I don't know. I swear I read it somewhere today. And, you know, like I said, I only read our Facebook feedback and... anyway, keep going with what you were going to say while I said that, because yes, it is. He did say it. He said
it. Where did he say it?
Where?
He said, it's interesting... considering the entire premise for season 2 was dismissed in the book as a dumb plan. So that must mean that in the book, which I know this is terrible, don't hate us listeners, in the book they must dismiss the say that he fell backwards, because that's the whole premise for this. Okay. But you know what? Matt can pretty much give us feedback once he listens to this and let us know what he was talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Please do.
Yeah. Before we move on, though, to more feedback, I just had two more points that I actually thought were kind of interesting to talk about, and that would be with Jane. I thought that it was interesting that she had the scene with the octopus and then mentioned, like, why is it the prettier something is, the more dangerous it is, and then talks about, like, how, you know, in nature, the pretty is to, like, disarm them, right? It was that scene where she had the kids.
Yeah, and she's talking about how certain animals essentially like eat the males. The females eat the males.
Yeah.
Population. And then I thought that it was interesting that in her drawing of Perry at the end, she had the octopus like around his head. Because the first time I watched it, I thought it was like, I don't know, some kind of devil horns or whatever. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, that's an octopus. That so it kind of tied back to me the second time. I just thought that was interesting, you know, like... They talked about Celeste being a monster in her dream, and then they talked about, like, you know, the women having to, you know, eat the men, and it was kind of weird, like, do you have to turn into a monster to defeat a monster kind of theme.
Interesting.
So, interesting. Yeah. That was the more, I guess, serious thing that I wrote down. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about was my favorite scene of the whole episode, which was when Ed was in the grocery store with the lady that got the boob job.
Yeah, who is she? Are we supposed to remember who she is?
I don't think we're supposed to know who she is. I think that it's just really funny, and maybe they're setting up that they're going to have an affair or something.
Oh, interesting. During that whole scene, we were like, is that our Whole Foods? We came to the conclusion that it's probably not, but most Whole Foods look alike. So,
like, is that our watermelon display?
Yeah.
It's definitely a Whole Foods, though. So.
Yeah, that's so funny. Well, speaking of, let's move into our next little segment, I guess, which is going to be Shandy's Blissful Drip. Maybe the Blissful Shandy. I don't know. Something.
Ooh, that sounds a little suggestive.
Does it, though?
maybe not a wonderful way.
Oh, Shandy. Oh, I just got that. Oh, yeah. I did not put that together. What about the Blissful Shandy?
No, still, I don't know. I'm a child. I'm sorry.
The locals interlude.
Yeah, let's go. We'll workshop it.
Our hometown hero.
Yeah, we'll workshop it. But I like Shandy. I still like Shandy's Blissful Drip because, you know, I'm also a child.
Well, I did want to mention the Blissful Drip Cafe. Which we saw in that scene. It is, fun fact, not in Monterey. Also doesn't exist. But they built that set in Pacific Grove, which is right next to Monterey, like connected.
Okay.
And it's at Lover's Point, which is a little park that's really pretty and cute. And I literally was like ran by that spot one day during marathon training when the cafe was out and like, totally stopped and was like, oh, this has got to be for Big Little Lies. It was like right before they started filming.
Oh, man.
So I have some pictures of that somewhere that I'll put up on our Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah. They took it down afterwards, but they actually donated it to the city of Pacific Grove.
Nice.
And I guess.
Cool.
Apparently, they also made an agreement that the company can access it again for a potential season 3. So
that's awesome.
Very yeah. Cool.
So it's like, it's a functioning like coffee bar. It can.
Well, so I don't know what the city of Pacific Grove actually did with it. I don't know, like, if it's going to be on display somewhere or what, but
going to be like their gazebo a la Salzburg and the Sound of Music. Tourists will come and visit the coffee bar.
Could be. I was kind of surprised that they didn't leave it there, but I don't know if there's like, you know, rules and stuff because it's the park. And then like, I don't think they could actually have a cafe there, but anyway, so there's that. I also thought it was really interesting that Jane works at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
So like she had the shirt and everything and that's like all legit and checks out. But I was kind of, this is one of those things where it's like super not important, but, she was an accountant last season.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I'm like, when I see her with the Monterey Bay Aquarium shirt, I'm assuming she's like doing accounting for the aquarium. It didn't seem like that. And so then it was like, well, does she like volunteer at the aquarium? They have a big volunteer program. Cause I just like how, if she has a background in accounting, like how would she have gotten a job at the, yeah, at the aquarium? It's not like
super unqualified.
Yeah. Super unqualified. And like, they have, you know, I'm sure anytime a job opens up, they have just like tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of applicants. So maybe she does volunteer. I don't know. It was interesting, but they had said that they wanted to film more like in Monterey this time around. So that was like a kind of a cool shout out, which
yeah,
the aquarium is already overpacked all the time. So now it's going to be just like.
So, okay. Two thoughts here. Because that's a good point that, because I remembered she was accountant and then I kind of forgot when I was watching it. Do you think that she's either doing a second job or she's got all this settlement money from Perry's estate that she's like, I'm going to follow my dreams.
But she also said she wasn't cashing any of them.
She wasn't cashing the ones for Ziggy.
But she was cashing the ones for herself?
I don't know.
She wouldn't have any for herself, though. It's just,
right, it would just be for Ziggy.
Yeah, it's just like survivor's benefit. Like,
that's true.
Like, she'll, like, survivor. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. Okay, forget I said anything. Interesting,
but even,
though.
Like, her home is different, like, sort of.
Yeah, she's in a new place
totally
for sure.
Redone her character, and I'm curious if it's story motivated or, you know, Shandy, as you said, they're just trying to like use more places in Monterey to shoot. Yeah.
And they definitely, they like filmed at like, the beach that she's dancing on, like that. I recognize that. Like that's, one of the beaches that I could walk to. There are times though, and it was fun, like watching with like other locals. Cause like that scene where Bonnie is running.
Yeah.
Like that's not here, but it's close. Tasia thought it was in Aptos, which is just north of here. But for all those places, we're like, okay, wait, like, where's that? Do you recognize that? Where are they? Where's this cafe? Where are the fires with all the fires? I don't know where that is. I don't know if it's, it could be a set. There was a place like that for last season, but.
Right.
Oh, I hope it's real. It just looks so fun. It totally looks like a bar I would totally love to go to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. Awesome. Well, anything else from the local insight segment of the show?
Those are the major ones that stood out. And I will find those pictures of the Blissful Drip Cafe and post them. And I will have my eyes out and my eyes peeled next episode.
Yes. And she means like the actual show, not her Blissful Drip. Sorry.
Wait, now what?
I said, not your Blissful Drip. Which again, I'm so sorry. I really did not. I mean, usually I do. This time, that was a totally accident.
That's cool.
And if you want to check them out on our Instagram page, you can follow us on Instagram at thebroadcasters3. And we like to do fun things on our Instagram. So, you know, check that out. But moving on, we've got, let's see, we've got a couple of more. We have a voicemail. So let's move into the feedback portion of the show. We've got a voicemail, and then we've got another email from Dennis, and then I guess we'll wrap it up and call it a night. So do you guys want to get to Will's voicemail?
Yes. Let's do it.
Hello, this is Will. I am at home sick today, but I saw you were looking for feedback for Big Little Lies, and I just had to send you some. And going into the season, I'm kind of wondering, like, you know, what the format's going to be, because last season they did the whole interrogations in the present, flashbacks to the past, and just kind of hoping it'll be as good as the first season, because second seasons a lot of times aren't. And also just kind of wondering, is it even necessary? Because I don't know if this is ever meant to be more than one season, but I was really excited to get back into the show, and I was not disappointed. I just loved the episode, especially Mrs. Meryl Streep, one of my favorite actresses. She's a national treasure. She's throwing so much shade. I mean, she's the new queen of shade on HBO. Sorry, Lady Tyrell from Game of Thrones, but I think you've been dethroned. I think she knows exactly what she's doing, her character. It took me a while to remember, you know, who some of these people were and how they're all related, but you know, once you get back into it, Reese's, I don't give a fuck about homeless people. That had me dying laughing just because, you know, it's so her character. Even though I kind of hate Reese Witherspoon. There's one cute guy who worked at the, I guess, aquatic center with the single mother, the one whose father was the father of her child was Alexander Skarsgård. He was really cute. But, Laura Dern, I think I love Laura Dern now more than ever, ever since, like, she was in Twin Peaks, The Return, and then Star Wars. She's awesome. So I'm just really looking forward to seeing how this season unfolds. And it's been a while since I've seen any kind of feedback, but I will talk to you soon, hopefully. Bye.
It was so good to hear from Will. It's been such a long time since we've gotten a Will voicemail, and they are generally our favorites on the broadcast.
Well, wasn't he one of our early contributors to the broadcast?
Yes. I feel
like, yeah. Here we are again, starting out another podcast, and Will writes in. Thank you.
Woohoo! Oh, he was one of the contributors on our very first episode, huh? 135 episodes ago at this point. Not that I knew that off the top of my head, but I totally knew that off the top of my head. And one episode ago for the Big Little, Broad Little Lies. So, but thank you, Will. It was really great to hear from you. And I have to agree with all the Madeline stuff, of course. She cracks me up. Not because I would ever say anything like she said, but just because in general, she cracks me up. Yeah. And of course, Meryl is a national treasure. I don't know if you can say she's the new Lady Tyrell, though. I think the jury is going to have to be out on that. She's going to have, we have to see what she does at the end. I mean, if she somehow turns around, Amanda, earmuffs for a second. Amanda hasn't seen Game of Thrones yet.
Hard to earmuffs when you have headphones. It's like reversed earmuff.
That position is called the reverse earmuff.
So if she, at the end of the season, if she like freaking turns to Madeline and is like, it was me, then.
As she dies. Yeah.
As she. Then she can totally be the new Lady Tyrell. Yeah. And Amanda is back, and if anybody
re-earmuffed,
great,
go.
She's remuffed. Okay, first of all, why is that saying that you're remuffed? Why is that less dirty than talking about Shandy's blissful drift? I just want to ask.
No, it's still bad. And okay. Perhaps we should have said this at the very beginning of the show. We're not typically a safe for work podcast, a safe for driving in the car with your children. If they are under a certain age.
Yeah. I marked us the, you know, TV 14 and up explicit when I submitted the feed. So it's cool.
You knew. You knew how this was going to go.
Well, it was more me. I was like, how long can I make it without making an saying an F word? And then I made it like a good 20 minutes and I was real proud of myself.
I dropped a freaking or a freaking.
So did I.
Yeah. Look at that.
Wow. I don't even hear them anymore. They're just.
I know.
I was literally going to say, I'm like, but you haven't dropped an F-bomb.
No, they're one earmuff and out the other.
In one earmuff.
I do only wear one muff.
It drips
keeps
in.
The other one pulled back because otherwise it's too noise canceling and it is uncomfortable.
It drips into one muff and out of the other.
I got to keep one ear free to hear the outside world.
It drips otherwise from one muff to another. Okay. Anyway. Oh, okay. Good times. Good times. Moving on, we have one more email from Dennis. Is it my turn to read an email?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I will read the email. Dennis, another wonderful broadcast contributor and friend. Yay. Dennis says, thanks for podcasting about Big Little Lies. I forgot how angry this show made me with its violence. I'm hoping there are fewer flashbacks needed in the coming episodes. But in any event, I look forward to a spirited discussion throughout the season. It sounds like Dennis had a trigger. as for episode one, it's my understanding that a second season wasn't planned until the success of season one was apparent. So a scramble to come up with a plot is understandable, but not choosing the obvious self-defense route for the characters is a little hard to believe. Oh, well. What's done is done, and we'll just have to make do with the acting of Meryl Streep. She did not disappoint last night. No, she did not.
No.
No. P.S. Did you catch the Maris pennant on the wall with several others, most if not all of them California schools in the counselor's office? A coincidence, or did Shandy pull some strings? P.S.S. or P.P.S., my favorite line from the surfer dude to Jane, are you on the spectrum? That's right. I forgot about that. That was so random.
Weird reaction. Yeah.
Real weird. And she's like, I don't know. Are you?
That's why they call it a spectrum. Yeah. We're all on it.
Yeah. That's very new.
No, I super did not see the Marist.
I didn't. And now I want to go back and watch that scene again. So background information. Yes. Amanda and I went to Marist College.
Yep. Class of.
Yeah. Class of 13 years ago. So yeah. Whenever you're listening to this, just do the math.
It was 13 years ago from then.
So. Yeah, from then. So if you're listening to this 13 years from now, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Oh, good times, good times. Yeah, so I think that the not obvious self-defense route kind of speaks to what we were talking about earlier on with it's interesting that Madeline would automatically be like, you know, this was he fell instead of like he was kicking my friend in the face and then went to go punch my, you know, choke my other friend, and like didn't he make a move to hit her too in that scene? Like that they wouldn't be like, we pushed him because we were trying to get the big scary man away from us. But
yeah, I do think that's the most obvious thing to say, but again, I can accept it on the premise of like, I don't know. I mean, I've never pushed someone to their death, but I would assume that like,
it's also scary that you couldn't be believed that you'd want it.
Yeah. It's just a lot of stuff that goes into that.
Yeah.
Well, and part of me wonders, it's like, well, if you sort of go the logical route, then where does the story go? Like this way, because the story is like so very clearly flimsy. It gives you a lot of places to take the drama.
Truth. Truth. I'll give you that. That's actually, yeah, it's definitely more of a season two TV plot than a, although I don't know.
In a real life situation.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like in real life, somebody also might be exactly like we talked about, where they don't want to, you know, they want to be moved on with, like he just fell or whatever. Plus she needs to be in control.
And actually, another thing to consider, and I don't know if this is plausible, like for this particular story, or like if it's plausible. I don't know if it's like a reason that people can accept, but like, so if you go down the route of the truth, like this requires Celeste to basically like go public, or at least, you know, public with the police about being a domestic abuse survivor. That requires Jane to go public about
the rape,
that she was raped. Like, you know, like it's maybe.
Right. That's very true. That's a great point that Matt, she was sort of protecting the whole rather than the individuals.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in a town that we already know is so, so ripe with gossip and the gossip mill. And it's all about like who's talking about what and who's got the dirt on whom.
Yeah.
I think you make a very good point.
Yeah. That's a great point. Okay. Let's leave that on that. Before we wrap this show up, do we want to talk about the music real quick? There was some great music as always. I mean, the first season soundtrack is awesome. I'm bad at music. I know that there was a Nirvana cover in this by Sinead O'Connor. I know that Jane and Ziggy dance around to Bad Reputation, which I thought was probably, you know, fun for them and also sort of Jane's attitude in general in the town. What else was there?
Well, according to RadioTimes.com, they have for their playlist for season two, they have Cold Little Heart by Michael Kiwanuka, which is the show open theme music that we all know and love so much. They don't have Colleen, the song you just mentioned, I Don't Give a Damn About My Bad Reputation. Who sings that? You said it. I was listening. I promise.
Isn't that, what's her name? Joan Jett?
Is that Bad Joan Reputation? Jett?
Yeah.
They don't have that listed here on the list, but it was obviously there. So what they do have is I'll Be Around by The Spinners. What Becomes of the Broken Hearted by Jimmy Ruffin. It's My House, Diana Ross. Mystery of Love, Sufjan Stevens. Which was the song when Jane is dancing on the beach, because
yes,
I thought
that
it was an Elliot Smith song.
Yeah, and it's Sufjan Stevens. No, it
was another lovely male falsettoed crooner. there was the Rip by Portishead. Fade Out Lines by The Avner and Phoebe Kilgier, Harvest Moon by Cassandra Wilson, and then the last song they have listed is the Sinead O'Connor cover of the Nirvana song All Apologies.
Yeah, it was definitely, thank you, Amanda. It was, music was on point as always.
Always.
So. Yeah. But all right, I think that does it for our first episode. Does anybody else have any last minute thoughts that they want to talk about? Would you guys ever get a boob job to cover up a nose job, like a bad nose?
No. Seems a little extreme.
Does it though? It made her husband real mad. So
I suppose it depends on how much you hate your nose.
That's very true. She kind of had a fine nose from Straight On. So
I thought so.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, well, thanks guys for listening to our first episode. We hope that you subscribe to us on iTunes. We are on our feed. If you're listening to this through the Jay and Jack main feed or the broadcast feed, we have our own feed and it's Broad Little Lies. So please check us out and subscribe to that, because we won't be on the broadcast feed after this week. Hopefully, if you know, our feed will be on there and searchable. If you would like to submit some feedback to us from this episode, last season, or the next season, season two, we record on Monday evenings. You can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, and that's the number 3, not, you know, all written out, at gmail.com. You can give us a call, 331-276-2373, which is 331-276-2373. Was it 331 Broads 3? Is that how we had originally done it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's been so long since we said it like that. So 331 Broads 3, BROADS 3. I don't know. Whatever. You can follow us on Instagram because we've got updates and contact information there. And that's the Broadcasters 3. Let's see. We have a Twitter page. Is that Broads 3? I'm terrible at the Twitter one.
I haven't been on the Twitter.
I know, right? Okay, well, let's hold that.
Hang out on our Instagram. It is more current.
It is very current. There's different ways to get in touch with us, as always. But, you know, we would love to hear from you. We would love to have great... So, because this is a new feed, we need all of your reviews on iTunes, if that's okay. If you have a minute and you're listening on your podcast app, it's probably on the others, too. If you can, just, like, you know, scroll up and get to the bottom of it and give us a review that way. It's really easy nowadays. But that would really help us out a lot to help us with the iTunes thing. And then... check us out at the broadcast. We're actually going to be live on Tuesday the 11th doing our third birthday party and then moving into season 4. So we would love if you could join us. And if you want to listen to us going forward, we have a lot of fun there every week. Thank you to the patrons. Again, if you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JaneJack or you can go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patron link that's on the little button that's on the top right of the website. Thank you to the patrons that contribute at a certain level, and that would be Eckhart, Tack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Ed the Creepy Mailman, and Drake the Distributor, who I saw last week actually in person. We went geocaching. It was fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. But yeah, thanks again, guys. And we appreciate you listening, and we will see you next week. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.